Welcome to the Always On Podcast. My name is Duncan McPherson, CEO of Pareto Systems. I'm your host, and our objective with this podcast is to provide our audience, which are very high caliber, ambitious, and enlightened fee-for-service financial professionals, to continually work on themselves personally and professionally. And to that end, I'm very excited because today's conversation involved Seth Diener at Diener Money Management and Alex Lurch at Oak and Stone. And we talk about branding to create professional contrast. We talk about art of marketing and narrow casting to reach people who count. And we talk about AI. Hope you enjoy this conversation. If you do, please like and share. If you have any ideas in terms of who I should be speaking with down the road, just let us know. And until then, make it a great day. Very excited to be joined by Seth Diener and Alex Lurch, two incredible authorities in the areas of client acquisition, business development, and running a business like a business. In this conversation, we're going to talk about narrow casting, which is target marketing. We're going to talk about branding to achieve professional contrast, which means basically expanding how you're perceived beyond just being a person with technical ability and good intentions, but also the practice and the process. And we're going to talk about innovations around AI. So I'm very excited about the conversation. Seth, Alex, thanks for being here. Do you mind just doing a quick introduction in terms of a typical day in your life and also how your days come together? Because I know you're basically working on two separate entities, but they are very collaborative. So Seth, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah, so my name is Seth Diener, owner of Diener Money Management. I am a proud graduate of Pareto, and I am also a client of Alex Lurch and Oak and Stone Marketing Systems.
Yeah, and I'm Alex Lurch. I am the director of Oak and Stone Advisor Marketing, where we work specifically with financial advisors on their marketing strategies. You know, I've worked with Seth for quite a while, and Duncan, we're both excited to be joining you today to talk a little bit about marketing and some strategic marketing and focused marketing and how that can help advisors.
Excellent. So right up front, everybody, look for Seth and Alex on LinkedIn. They are both essential follows, very busy, but also very unique in terms of their content distribution on LinkedIn. And I look at it on a pretty regular basis, so I appreciate that. So, Seth, I'm going to put you on the spot. You're a financial professional. You play at a pretty high level. You're a serious student of practice management and relationship management. What makes you different?
It's a great question. You know, being a Pareto graduate, what makes us different is our people and our process. So at Diener Money Management, we have what we call the Flourish Formula, which is a proprietary process that we developed and refined over the years to allow people to live their best life today and tomorrow. A lot of people solve for tomorrow, and that's something that's a lot of effort is put into that. We put equal effort into solving for today and making sure that our clients, you know, live their best life.
Okay, so let's jump into branding. So early in our relationship, you saw the merit of creating a brand within the brand. So you yourself, personally, professionally, have a brand. Diener Money Management, your practice, has a brand. And then you created the brand within the brand. You branded the process, which is so incredibly important right now to differentiate because, again, it's not what you say, it's what they hear. It's what the marketplace hears in terms of your communication, how you articulate value. Now that you've got quite a bit of mileage behind the Flourish Formula, tell me how your clients have responded to your reframing, reintroducing that value and removing the mystery. Just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, incredible. Incredible. You know, oftentimes we do a lot of things and we don't see immediate responses. With this, I did immediately. You go back to your clients and you give them the talk about reframing, And a couple of the things that I saw happen. Number one is that my clients really appreciated that I continue to work on the business and develop the business and refine the business, right? And make it better. When we came back to them and reframed, what it allowed us to do is introduce the seven pillars, introduce the Flourish formula, and introduce all these things that we've ever been working on these last 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, 5 years. You know, and it's got a name, and you know, we've developed and refined it, and we continue to get better. So some of the immediate things that we saw right away was that our existing clients became bigger fans of ours, because you know, people like to be with winners, right? And when you're professionalizing your practice, and you give a name to what you're doing for people, and you have a strategy and a brand with it, people really, really like that. And so what we saw was that we got more engagement from our existing clients, and we got more referrals easily from those relationships.
Now, I know you keep working on yourself professionally in terms of your core competency, but correct me if I'm wrong, your technical ability did not dramatically improve, but your client's appreciation for your value did improve when you reframed with the Flourish formula. So,
yeah,
not to oversimplify, but did it change where they weren't just connecting with what your value is, but more with what it does in terms of money being a means to an end now and in the future to live their best life?
Yeah. And I think that it kind of, you know, marries together a little bit when we're looking at that is that, you know, people didn't have, you know, oftentimes in financial advising, right or wrong, clients think that the only thing you do is manage money, that you pick investments. You know what I mean? Right or wrong, right? So reframing allowed them to sit there and say, hey, here's everything that we do, the 100 things that we do, right? Here's everything that we do. And we narrowed it down into seven pillars. So what happened was that two things. One is that they realize the breadth of what you actually do without you ever having to explain it deeply, right? You know, just by seeing it and stuff like that. The other thing that we saw was that like I'd said before, is that recently we had a bad market, right? In 2022, we had a bad market, and I've been in business for over 20 years. So I've seen a lot of bad markets, right? And, you know, what I saw because we reframed and because we spent the time to meet with people and tell them what our flavor is and what we do for you and everything like that. I got to tell you, this last downturn in the stock market was unlike anyone that I've ever been through, because my clients were fans of ours. They weren't beating us down when things were down. They understood that there was a process, and we focus on things that we can control, not things that we can't control. So the phone didn't ring as much. Clients were still engaged and happy with what was going on and still kept referring people. And all of that was from the hard work that we did by installing those things.
Okay. Now, Alex, you're an advisor to advisors. You have developed an approach that enables an advisor to elevate their branding strategy to create that professional contrast. And part of what you've done with Seth is help him harness client engagement and client goodwill in the form of a sustainable process around testimonials and reviews. Could you talk a little bit about that, and then we'll expand a little bit further?
For sure. You know, it's funny, we're all hockey fans here, probably tortured hockey fans. So, you know, one of the things we always talk about is you want to skate to where the puck is going, not where it's been, right? So that's kind of how we look at the things that we're doing with marketing, with financial advisors. I think something Seth just mentioned about, you know, there was a bad market, and one of the, I guess you could call it benefits, is that the noise was turned down maybe from past markets from his clients. And the reason that happens is because, and this is where marketing sometimes gets lost on advisors, marketing is not only generating new business, marketing is also having a continual outlet to communicate with your current clients effectively, getting touch points to your current clients, so that you're communicating at such a high level through your automation, through the email marketing that you're doing, the content that you're posting on your social media, the different ways you're communicating with your clients, that is the supplemental benefit of what you're doing with your marketing, is you're communicating to your clients in a proactive way. And you know, what we know, we've seen this through research, is the main reason clients leave is because they feel like they're not communicated with well. There's data that's shown this. It's the main reason people leave their advisors, right? So as we're thinking about marketing, we're talking about marketing today, you want to kind of think about both elements of that, which is how are you retaining your current business? And then that's also leading to referrals, of course, right? But you're also just not just focusing on, hey, new cold business, how do I get it, right? Like, how do you retain, grow, and get referrals from your current business? So I just wanted to kind of, I think what Seth said about the market was so important because that's something that we're constantly focusing on.
Yeah, and I'd like to add to that just a little bit in that, you know, it's become very obvious to me, especially with the engagement that I've had with the client since we've reframed, that meeting with somebody once a year and them getting a flavor for who you are and what you stand for and what your people and your process is one time a year is not enough. It's not enough, right? So with Alex's help, you know, we have found ways to make sure that we create these branding, we create these things so that throughout a given year, they feel us, they see us, they know what we're about multiple times throughout the year. And that makes people bigger fans of yours because they understand you better.
Okay, so this is where, okay, go, Alex.
I was going to add to that really quickly because we're going to go full circle here. And that's the beauty of having been through Pareto systems and the coaching and understanding the system, because that's giving you the game plan. A lot of what our marketing strategy is we've taken the internal philosophy of how to grow your practice and build your practice and improve it and evolve it, and just taking it, how can we get out the external messaging of the things we've done through this coaching program and use it in our marketing? And how are the, and I know, Duncan, we'll get into testimonials. We'll talk about that today. We'll talk about collateral, why that's important, how to create that and all that. But the key is you have the game plan already, and it's just figuring out this external way to get the content out to the, out to your clients.
Okay. So giving your process an identity adds to your fee worthiness. It removes the mystery, demystifies your value, makes it more panoramic. You're no longer just an asset manager. You put every piece of the puzzle together. That's the 100 things that you do for a client over the lifetime of the relationship. But what's such a huge distinction, once you've established the identity, the flourish formula, which incidentally, flourish, that's what people want. They want to flourish. And it's not promissory around performance of an investment product. It's what it means to be your client. Flourish formula, form, speaking to the goals-based planning approach you have. Once you've got that identity, once you've set the expectation in the reframe that you're going to elevate the client experience, then there needs to be execution. You need to, when the dust settles, demonstrate to a client that we are raising the bar. So, Seth, to your point about many financial advisors have maybe a series of reactive phone calls, answering questions for clients over the course of a year, maybe one or two face-to-face or digital meetings like this, clearly that's not enough of a client experience. You've got to go deeper with the touch points. So I want to hear your perspective on that and how clients respond to it. And then, Alex, I want to hear your perspective based on how they have meaningfully responded in the form of testimonials. So, Seth, take that.
Yeah. So the Alex is going to speak a little bit to it too. The testimonial situation has been one of the best things that happened to a financial advisor's marketing wise, you know, in a long time, maybe ever, right? You know, the testimonial. So I'll speak a little bit. We're going to talk about niches, right? You know, we have a AAA client, an ideal client that we work with. The second A stands for attitude. We work best with people that have ambitious goals. Usually they're ambitious pharmaceutical executives. We work best with people that have ambitious goals, and we love building plans for them. People that are bought into their financial success, they want it, right? And they want the best life today, and they want the best life tomorrow, right? So, you know, in comes testimonials, right? So we'll talk about how you use them and stuff like that. But, you know, for testimonials for me is that, you know, for the first time, we were able to get the voice of the client, right? And be able to promote that, right? So it was groundbreaking from a standpoint of when we started getting testimonials. I think in the first 30, 60 days, maybe I got like 20 or 30 testimonials, and it was no big deal. It was very, using Alex's system, it was very easy to do. No sweat off my back, you know. And when we started getting those testimonials, number one, we were surprised at the really nice things that people had to say about us. You know, you're your own worst enemy a lot of the times. And we were surprised at how much goodwill was out there. What we also saw was is what we call like a helper's high, is that the people that wrote testimonials, believe it or not, if there was 20 people that wrote testimonials, 4 or 5 of them sent referrals after they said they wrote a testimonial, right? So, you know, we saw that, and I'll tell you a little bit about it later when we talk about niches, is that it was even more powerful for pharmaceutical clients. When you have a pharmaceutical client write a testimonial and you share that thing on LinkedIn, and then everybody in the pharmaceutical world sees that Joe Schmo, you know, like said good things about Seth and his Flourish formula, I mean, that's gold.
Okay, so hold that thought. We'll pivot to the target marketing conversation in a second, but Alex, I do want to hear your perspective on the process that you at Oakenstone have developed that cracks the code around referrals and testimonials. Can you speak to that for a second?
For sure. So, and just to quick recap this, so 2 years ago, the SEC made a change to the one of their marketing rules that now allows financial advisors to get testimonials. And, you know, some advisors listening, you may not even have caught that. You may not know that, but since then, there's been this kind of mad rush to, okay, how do we implement it? How do some broker-dealers allow it? How do they handle it from a compliance standpoint? So one of the things we did really early is we jumped on this knowing that we knew this was going to be important. And, you know, Duncan, we've had some conversations on testimonials in the past, but some of the data behind how important they are to a business is so powerful. And now that this industry allows you to get them, it's almost a lost opportunity if a financial advisor are not doing it. And, you know, as Seth mentioned, it's twofold. And as we started to collect them, we've done a lot of case studies with different advisors where we set up a system to collect testimonials, created some landing pages, a system to ask for them from your clients, scripts to do so. And we were able to work with many advisors to collect a lot of testimonials pretty quickly as soon as the rules allowed for it. And, you know, what we found is twofold. You're thinking, okay, I'm collecting these testimonials, so there's a great opportunity for me to use them in my marketing. I'm going to put them on my website. I'm going to share my social media. I'm going to get some client video testimonials. And the thought is, well, these testimonials are going to be impressive to new business, and it's going to help me build my practice. It's going to get more leads, more of my ideal fit clients, because the testimonials speak to who I'm looking to work with. What's fascinating is what we found, and Seth mentioned this helper's high, is that the people that we actually asked for them from become better referrers immediately. Or become better clients. They maybe open up to new avenues of business or different things. So it's twofold what the power of the testimonial is. You're growing your internal business because the people that write them for you are quickly become your power referrers. They're the people that are going to refer your most business, which for most advisors listening, that's probably how you have the potential to grow your business quickly. Just continue to drive referrals. Mm-hmm.
So back to Maslow's hierarchy, I mean, your clients have a deeper sense of belonging to your community and they feel compelled to share that. But of course, you need to execute, because if I'm your client, I've given you a testimonial and then I introduce a friend to you, the number one concern is that how that will come back and reflect on me. I want my friend to come back to me and say, wow, thank you. These guys were even better than you said. So that's where the execution has to come in. So... And interesting, Seth, you're right. I mean, we tend to be so close to what we do, or sometimes our own worst critic. There's a signal to noise ratio. Tuning out the noise and seeing your value through the lens of the client, that's such a pure, crystalline signal that I'm sure adds fulfillment and purpose to what you do.
Big time.
Now, okay, let's build on this then. First of all, Seth, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't just have a B2C business, organic financial services to clients, but you have advisors now drafting in behind your process, adopting your process to liberate them to be more effective, more efficient. Is there a B2B element around testimonials? Do you have advisors singing your praises in the form of testimonials? Does that happen?
Alex does, yeah. Alex does, for sure.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, for sure. So on the marketing side of the business and what we're doing there, it's just as powerful. Same game plan, right? So
yeah.
I think when you think about testimonials, it's at the end of the day, it's human psychology of what's important when they want to hire, right? Everybody that's listening to this has been to Amazon.com, right? We've all bought products there. And what we're buying is what's reviewed the best, right? And that's typical. And that's how they're reviewed. Go to their website. That's how it's set up. It's designed for you to click on, hey, there's a little filter with 5 stars over here, and that's what I'm looking for. So quality of testimony is the most testimonials, right? So
yeah,
what we're seeing. Go ahead, Seth.
Yeah, and there's so many ways you can use it. Like, just to give people some nuggets to be able to walk away with from this podcast is that we do testimonial Tuesdays. So every Tuesday for Diener Money Management, we post a testimonial. If I get 26 testimonials, that means that I can post one every week for a half a year and then do it again because they're evergreen, right? You can do them again, right? So we do testimonial Tuesday. Alex, you know, you could talk about like the word cloud that we did for Diener that we have when you walk into the office. And it's like basically a bunch of words, the nice things that people have said to you, put it all together, right? We have a one pager that we hand out that we put in our welcome kit is what the clients are saying, you know, fully approved and everything like that right in there. It's so much more powerful somebody else saying it than us saying it about ourselves.
Okay. So everybody listening in, you can send Alex, I think would be best, a message on LinkedIn asking for a webinar that we did on the art and science of testimonials and reviews. The deeper dive, we're just scratching the surface here. That was a little bit of a while ago. Now there's a little bit more momentum around the concept that validates that this is non-optional.
Yeah.
So, but with that in mind, let's pivot over to target marketing. There's an old saying that it's more important to reach people who count than it is to count the number of people you're reaching. Mm. And now we're in an era where if you want to grow further up market, you can't be a generalist. You have to be a specialist. You have to narrow cast, not broadcast. And you identified early, Seth, that some of your favorite clients were ambitious pharmaceutical professionals in the prime of their lives, highest income earning window, and they had a deep appreciation for the value you brought, and now you've gone very far down that track. Let's expand on that a little bit around the whole concept of target marketing, niche marketing, and how you brought that to life.
Yeah, so the... So we identify one of the steps in Pareto for those listeners that have done it or haven't done it before. One of the first steps is to, you know, not only identify your best life, but also identify your ideal client, right? So we spent a lot of time with the coach sitting down saying, what does that person look like? And you just have to look inward. Like when you have a meeting with somebody or you build plans and you do certain things with certain kind of people, you know, and that for me was pharmaceutical people. I admire them greatly. I think that, you know, I admire their drive and their determination and everything like that. So we knew that we wanted to go into there, right? So, you know, an example of how we're using that with testimonials is LinkedIn. And so, and I know we had talked a little bit about AI in the past, and this is where AI really comes into play to be able to help you. But on LinkedIn, you know, it's one of the greatest places to be for, if people don't have a good LinkedIn game, that's a great place to be, especially if you're trying to deal with executives. Pharmaceutical executives go on LinkedIn like people go on Instagram and Facebook. You know what I mean? They're always on it. They're always seeing who's changing jobs, who's doing what, you know, whenever it is, right? So, with the help of AI, what the thing that AI has really helped us to do implementing into our practice is that I'm a terrible writer. Writing has always like handcuffed me or like made me like feel like I'm handicapped in communicating with people, right? So with the use of AI, what we've been able to do is that we've been able to write articles that are more focused on my niche, right? So you look at like pharmaceutical clients. Pharmaceutical clients have unique issues that they face. Like, for example, like uneven pay. They get huge bonuses and smaller salaries, right? How do you navigate that? With the help of AI and LinkedIn, we can write articles and put them on LinkedIn for people to be able to comment and see. So you see, you have these pharmaceutical clients that are great article, awesome. You know, you have that going on. And then at the same time, you have testimonials going on from your pharmaceutical executives that you're promoting every Tuesday. Here's another one. Here's another one. People see that over and over and over again. They see that. And then you become the guy, the team. All right, the Flourish formula works perfectly with the pharmaceutical industry. And here's why, right? Super, super powerful. We have seen a ton of response from it where we're getting 1 to 2 referrals a month out of vapor, right? Just out of the things that we're doing with no extra effort by myself.
And again, because you're fully bought into the mindset of stewardship, you're not asking for or soliciting these referrals. You've just created advocates who feel they're doing a friend or a colleague a disservice by not introducing them to you, which is, you know, ultimately the law of attraction in the professional world brought to life. I really like what you talked about there around messaging that resonates. Okay, so I see a lot of messaging in the financial services space on LinkedIn and other mediums, and it's a lot of jargon and it's a lot of generalization. When you speak to a pharmaceutical rep, in their inside voice, they're saying, okay, this guy gets me. He's speaking my language. He understands me, which makes your message far more compelling. Having AI to help you with your target marketing, meaning you're not, I mean, you're unleashing your genius of marketing, but in messaging that resonates with them. So I like how you've done that. You've got the target market, you've got the mechanism to communicate to a captive audience, and you're speaking directly to them. That is very well rounded.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, on that, like, one of the things that's important, we always say, try the jersey on, right? You know, try the jersey on, see what the jersey looks like, right? So, you know, with the help of Pareto Systems and Alex's marketing, you know, when we look at this stuff, what we're doing is that we're identifying things that are unique to these people, right? And we're creating, you know, our content based around those types of people. And guess what? That doesn't mean I can only work with pharmaceutical people, right? But, you know, you're better off having that kind of system that's in place. And, you know, the rewards are endless. You end up starting to work with more people that you like working with. You end up helping more people. But our marketing systems, just like you said, we're not asking for somebody to come buy our stuff or see us or anything like that. We are sitting there just passing along what other good people, what people are saying about us, and then being helpful.
A customized podcast can add credibility and efficiency to your communication efforts, sifting good prospects from the mass of suspects, staying top of mind with strategic partners, and activating more advocacy from existing clients can be achieved with a turnkey approach. Learn more at proudmouth.com. Do you aspire to consistently attract and keep great clients while driving the enterprise value of your business? Do you want to achieve professional contrast by supplementing your technical ability with a consistent client experience driven by best practices? The Blue Square Toolkit brings the proven Pareto Systems philosophy and process to life in a way that tethers your team so that you can competitor-proof your clients, gain their full empowerment, and attract quality referrals, all while restoring liberation and order in your life, and all in an intuitive, easy-to-use, turnkey solution. Visit bluesquaretoolkit.com to get your 14-day free trial today.
That's it.
So in the spirit of facts tell, stories sell, the testimonials from pharmaceutical reps, Alex, what are they saying? Like, are they talking about, okay, listen, I'm working my tail off here. I don't worry about my money. Okay. Nothing. It doesn't keep me up at night. I can go out. I'm traveling. I'm working 12-hour days. But in the back of my mind, I know that Seth and his team has got this. Is this kind of what they're saying in a way that resonates with other people who are listening to that testimonial?
Yes. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about having a niche strategy is all the content you're creating or getting. So if it's a testimonial, it's a success story from a client, it relates much clearer and easier to your ideal client. So, you know, as Seth mentioned, his example, pharmaceutical reps, extremely busy, high demand, high pay, changing jobs, variability. So a lot of the testimonials we get from those clients speak to those challenges. The right. content we're creating speaks to those challenges. And the biggest fear for marketing people today is attention span. It like terrifies. And there's data. In the year 2000, the average person's attention span was 13 seconds. Today it's 6, cut in half. There's other studies that show a goldfish has a 9-second attention span. So when you're marketing to people, they have less attention span than a goldfish, right? So you got to think about that. So you got to get your message. You have 6 seconds. So if it's something that's written, it's a picture, it's a video, whatever it is, whatever your message is if you can't relate in the first 6 seconds of their attention, then you're not going to catch them. So when we're targeting to a niche group, that first sentence or that first line of the video has to speak directly to that group. And when you have a niche strategy, it's easier because the message can, that first thing you say can speak specifically to a pain point that they have. It's harder to do that with a generalist strategy than a niche strategy.
Well, it's interesting you say that because yesterday I had a conversation with an advisor about the importance of a hook. You need a hook that gets their attention, right? Because the hook is, you know, I see a hook, it's either a me too or a so what. Me too, that speaks to me, so what, I just dismiss it. But then you got to be mindful that it's not clickbait. You've got to have the goods. Once you got their attention in that 9, 12, 15 seconds, whatever the case may be, and they say, okay, I'll opt in, I'll actually invest some of my time and get into this content, you better have the goods beyond the hook. Mm-hmm. And that continually is speaking in a way that resonates with the audience. That's the, again, the art and science of target marketing. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about AI. I'm so far down the AI rabbit hole, and the more I learn, the more I realize that every sector, every aspect of every sector in the marketplace is going to be impacted by this technology.
For sure.
I'm blown away that, like, OpenAI formed as an entity in 2016. It went live, I believe, in November of 2022. And the adoption, I've never seen anything like it. And here's the thing. In technology, we normally equate technology evolving based on Moore's Law, right? Processing power will double every 14 months. I am seeing innovations in AI on a daily basis. There are stealth drops that occur virtually every day. Things that out of nowhere where I look at it, I go, are you kidding me? So you think of Sora. So you're telling me I can give it some text and it will produce a video for me in seconds? And some of the video is indistinguishable. You think about the old saying, seeing is believing. It's unbelievable now what's real and what's virtual. Now, the cool thing about that, because that scares some people, there's also a counter aspect with AI in that there's AI that will detect if something produced is AI. You know, for example, GPT-0, you know, in universities, they use this all the time to make sure that someone's submission is authentic and not, you know, crowdsourced. So it's absolutely not optional that a financial professional at least have a working understanding for how this is going to impact your life. As a financial advisor and looking at literally the trillions of dollars that are moving in the direction of AI, but also as a user in terms of how to be more efficient, how to narrow cast, to your point, Seth. So with that long-winded backdrop, Seth, let's talk about how you're embracing AI.
Yeah. So I agree with you on the sentiment of that. I mean, a lot of smart people that are smarter than me, you know, believe that that AI is the most important invention since the invention of the internet. And for those that are messing around in it and seeing what it does and everything like that, everybody believes it. We're all on the same page, you know. So I talked about like the biggest thing from a financial advisor standpoint that AI has done for me running my practice. Is gotten rid of that writer's block thing. You know what I mean? Like, I want to send an email to somebody. Like, the other day, everybody beats you up in the beginning of the year for tax forms, right? And you're waiting to do that. So I quickly crafted an email with ChatGPT with some of the things to look out for, put it together, sent it through compliance, it was boom, done, right? You know, content surrounding, you know, pharmaceutical clients, they get what's called long-term LTIs, long-term incentives, which are in the form of stock options and things like that. So we can create content using ChatGPT that is way more eloquent than I am ever. You know what I mean? Or anybody in my office. It's a better writer than anybody in my office. Sorry, Alex. Everybody. But it's like, you know, it allows you to refine it and do all that stuff so that, like, you now have, now I'm a good writer. Now I'm a good writer, right? And that has completely transformed my practice. So we use it like that with niche marketing on LinkedIn. Also, there's softwares that summarize meetings that you have, like Otter and things like that, that'll summarize a meeting and put it down into a summary for you. Just little things like that that used to take a long time, you know, that sometimes people are sitting there and they're taking notes for somebody, right? You know, you no longer need to do those kinds of things, right? So that's a little bit about like how it feels inside my practice, but Alex uses it a lot more than I do.
Okay, let me just ask you a quick question. First of all, around strategy and tactical meetings and interactions with clients, how is compliance responding to things like Read AI or Otter? Because I'm sure they're concerned about where that goes and where it resides based on information around the client. What are your thoughts on that, just quickly, and then we'll go to Alex on AI.
So we've been using it more so for internal meetings, and then if I go and I attend seminars and stuff like that, I just put my phone down and the thing records it and then gives me a summary of everything that I just recorded, which is super helpful when we go to like conferences and things like that. There's like four or five people there. You can attend this, you can attend that. It used to take a long time to write the notes down and put it together and everything like that. So everybody just opens up their phone. They use Otter. It summarizes it. We put it all together. You can even take all those summaries and put it into ChatGPT and say, summarize that one more time, right? And do that. So that's kind of where we're at with that right now.
Yeah. Makes sense. Alex, talk to us about AI. What are you seeing in terms of helping an advisor innovate, adopt, and deploying AI?
Yeah. So, you know, where I use it the most is in a marketing capacity. And I probably use some element AI for hours a day because it's a necessity now, right? You need to. And it's mainly a game of efficiency, being able to do things quicker at the same quality, but then also filling your gaps of where you may have a weakness and a skill, and AI allows you to strengthen it. And, you know, a lot of writing, a lot of language models, a lot of use of ChatGPT, of Google's product, which is now is Bard, it's now Gemini. We use that quite a bit. And then we use it for different things. So it can be as simple as, I have this idea, it's very rough, I need this rewritten, take a shot at this, give me 3-4 different versions of it with 4 different styles of language. You may like someone else's writing style, maybe someone that's well-known, and you can take samples from theirs and say, hey, this is my thoughts, can you write it more in this style and give it back to me, right? If you're trying to help advisors, again, we help advisors draft content a lot, and we want to put it in their voice. And that's one of our big challenges. We want this to sound like you, but it's being written by me. We can use AI to do that. We can tell it to do that. You know, this video today, we're recording this podcast and we're recording the video version of it. You can put this into, you can take the transcription of this, put this into a language model and say, hey, give me the 3, 4, 5 greatest points for this or greatest quotes and pull that. Right. And that's going to allow us to go create some more content from that. Right. So think about like long form things that you're doing, like this video and then transcribing it, or a long document that you have and you want summarized or notes pulled out of it. AI lets you do that like never before. It's like having a writing assistant at hand at all times. And even the things they can do with video, where you can record a video, and I don't have an editor that can knock this down and reshape stuff and put subtitles on it, and reorganize it and do different things. There's 10, 15, 20 AI products on the market that will do that for you. And it's fascinating. And there's, you know, Duncan, you mentioned there's something new every day. There's some new, and when I say something new, I mean multiple new things every day that can be used from an AI standpoint. And honestly, anything that you can think of that you're like, that should be a manageable task that AI could do, it probably already exists. It's probably out there and just a matter of finding it.
You know what I saw yesterday? I saw Golf GPT. So literally, GPT will be your caddy. Let's say the three of us are going to round somebody up. We're going to go to Pebble Beach. We can start playing Pebble Beach at the airport to get our head around the course and get some inside information around, okay, if you're on this hole, put your driver away. Hey, unbelievable. So profound, but I do want to make a quick point because I talked about this at length with a client yesterday. With messaging, the key is brevity, specificity, and proprietary. So brevity, get to the point. Specificity, talk in meaningful specifics, like three things, five things. Don't just wander. And proprietary, all roads to all of your messaging has to go to the fact that you've developed and refined a process. This is part of our process. It's not just that you have good intentions. So that's just a little framework for everybody to consider. I will say something. The infiltration of AI, you talk about Bard going to Gemini, and I don't know how much of reading you've done on DeepMind within Alphabet. It is incredible. And I saw the other day, I think Google laid off 12,000 people, and it might go to 30,000 people. I'm wondering, are they moving to AI, or is AI replacing them because they're going all in with AI? I did a PowerPoint yesterday, and a Microsoft Copilot pop-up came up telling me that I could refine my PowerPoint. Like, it's nothing stops this. It's coming. But here's the thing. The most enlightened financial professionals, to your earlier point about where the puck is going, that was by the greatest hockey dad ever, right? Walter Gretzky told us kids that.
Yeah.
The most enlightened financial professionals directionally are always thinking in terms of, okay, what are the unmet needs and what will be the evolving, developing needs as someone's life unfolds? What's very important, because, you know, Seth, you talked about being the smartest guy in the room. Being smart, knowledge, that's IQ. AI will never have EI, emotional intelligence. It can't give you a hug, right? It can give you incredible knowledge, but the wisdom that a financial professional can provide to a client. The bedside manner. I just want to remind everybody, there's IQ, very important. Knowledge, credentials, very important. EQ, your emotional intelligence. SQ, social intelligence. And then there's what I would call AQ, the adversity quotient, the resilience intelligence, the ability to see past hiccups, and the ability to be indispensable to somebody who is going through something that's difficult. And, you know, haven't we all in the last couple of years especially seen incredible velocity of people opening up and bearing their souls about the things that are happening in their lives?
Yeah.
I guess my point is this, and I'll let you close with your input on this. The more technology creeps into our lives, the more the human touch will matter. So let AI and technology serve you to outsource and to address the commoditized and the minutiae, but also to liberate you to go deeper into practice management and driving your enterprise value and scalability and relationship management, the ability to make yourself indispensable in someone's life. So that's my last point on AI. Seth, I'll give you the last word, then Alex, on your perspective, and then we'll call it a day.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, I'm going to butcher the quote, but I'm going to try it. It's a quote by Maya Angelou that says, people will forget what you did, they will forget what you said, but they will never forget how you made them feel, right? And so with all this stuff that we talked about and everything like that, at the end of the day, for Dieter Money Management and the Flourish Formula, it's all designed to around how we make people feel, right? And that's the end goal of everything, is that that's what it is. And with marketing systems and everything like that, it's how you get out to them and give them that hug.
Okay, so Alex, hold that point, because this is a little bit surreal. I was going through some notes and I came across a quote that supports that. Mark Twain said, the two greatest days of your life, the day you're born and the day you realize why. Purpose and calling. I don't think in the next 5 to 10 years, let alone today, there will be a profession that will provide more fulfillment, a greater sense of purpose, and more meaning than being a financial professional, helping people tune out the noise, look to the future with anticipation. Just remember, all of the things that we've talked about will amplify the fulfillment and purpose around what it means to be a financial professional. So a great point. Alex, I'll give you the last word here.
Yeah, I'll just, you know, summarize here by saying all marketing really is it's sharing externally the core of who you are. It's really what you're doing. And you're strategically finding ways to do that. But at the end of the day, you know, we're talking about AI. It is what you put into it. If you're just asking AI, hey, write me this article about this topic, it's not going to resonate. It's not going to be quality. So, you know, when you're thinking about getting into AI, and you certainly should look into using AI and how it can benefit you. You know, as Seth and Duncan just said, start with who you are at the core. Make sure you have an understanding of how to use AI to speak in your language, to get to the key of what matters to you, what's going to matter to your clients, because that's really important.
Yeah.
Well said. Okay, so if you're a financial advisor and you want to take a closer look at how a Pareto graduate, part of the alumni, conducts himself along with his team, take a look at Seth Dieter and Dieter Money Management, just the embodiment of stewardship and professionalism, but also ambition. And then if you're looking for ways to refine and optimize your branding strategy around testimonials and other areas that will give you professional contrast, check out Alex and the team at Oak and Stone to take your business to the next level. And with that, guys, I'll say thank you very much for your time. I know you're both incredibly busy, but I appreciate your insights, and I'm sure we'll be doing this again soon. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for calling me the smartest man in the room.
Yeah, thanks for all that, because I'm going to hear about that later, Doc, and I appreciate it. Yeah.
Just to qualify that, no, I'm just kidding. But everybody, it's the four Qs, not just the IQ. Q plus, right? All four. That's what makes the well-rounded professional. And Steph, you definitely meet that criteria. There's no question.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening to Always On with Duncan McPherson, where our objective is to enable professionals to always be working on their business and on themselves. Want to learn more about Duncan and his team? Visit ParetoSystems.com. Don't forget to click the follow button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the hosts and or guests, and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Pareto Systems. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast is powered by Proudmouth, the Influence Accelerators. If you're like me and want to spend more time educating people and less time selling, Proudmouth helps turn Main Street experts like you into trusted mainstream authorities. They will help amplify your influence over a growing audience of magnetically attracted fans. Visit Proudmouth.com to learn more.